Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen, lock the door. Then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' You will say, 'We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And then there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south to recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some who are last will be first. Some who are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, will only a few be saved? Jesus didn't come from heaven to earth to satisfy our curiosity. This is not normally numbered among the interrogatives that were trying to trip Jesus up. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, etc.? But it was a question that if Jesus had answered, "No, very few will be saved," it would have discouraged everybody. If he had said, "Yes, many will be saved," it would have made people take what he was calling them to for granted. In his divine wisdom, recognizing that it's not important what the number is, but it is important whether we are in that number, he replied, "You strive to enter through the narrow gate." As I mention every time we encounter this, that word "strive" in Greek means agonize. Agonize. Like I will in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonize to fit through the narrow gate. That gate is the width of the cross. It's the girth of a needle's eye. Literally, it's to enter into Jesus. Agonize fully to enter into me, who am the gate to the sheepfold. For this to happen, we have to have deep friendship with the Lord. He's got to be the real defining relationship in our life. And that's why Jesus says, "Many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but not be strong enough." They're not going to be able to do it on their own. We'll get to that in a second. They'll say, "Lord, open the door for us." And they'll say, "I don't know where you're from." In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gives a similar image, he simply says, "I do not know you. I don't know you. I don't know your roots." And then here says, "We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets." St. Matthew's version: "Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty miracles in your name?" But Jesus was saying, it's not enough to eat and drink in his company. It's not enough to listen to his teaching. It's not enough to work exorcisms by his holy name. It's not enough to raise whole cemeteries. It's not enough to proclaim faith in him. Because we know that Judas Iscariot did all of those things. What he really wants is to know us, to know where we're from, to know where we're going. He wants to befriend us. How? Because we don't have the strength to enter the narrow gate on our own, and yet he calls us in order to be saved to enter through that narrow gate. He, as he always does, will provide the means. And that's what today's first reading is about. The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. He sends himself to help us. First, by developing an intimate friendship with the Lord in prayer. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. As we pray, the Holy Spirit is praying within us. He's praying with us. He's helping us. St. Augustine taught us 1600 years ago, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, not by putting special words on our lips, quid ores, what you say as you pray, but by changing us as we pray, qualis ores, how we are as we pray. He transforms us from the inside so that we are and recognize ourselves to be true sons and daughters of a God who loves us infinitely, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit transforms us so that we might, as St. Paul says later, be conformed to the image of Jesus, conformed to the image of the Father, Son, so that everything we do, both our prayer and the way we live our faith, is conformed to Jesus in intimate relationship. That's the essential work of the Spirit. And that's why he goes on to say words that are really important for us, not just because of personal sufferings, but also because of some of the sufferings that the church is going through now. All things work out for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Omnia in bonum is the Latin. Why do all things work out for the good? Because even crosses can bring us to unite ourselves ever more to Jesus. Huge setbacks can help us finally turn to the Lord. I had to write an article yesterday that I was asked to do because so many people have been asking, you know, how to pray for the growing numbers of family members who have given up the practice of the faith, or who aren't bringing their kids to be baptized, or, you know, the same circumstance. So was talking through a whole bunch of questions there. And essentially I'm saying, don't give up. The Lord loves your loved ones even more than you do. And you never know exactly what circumstances he will use in order to bring somebody back. Maybe that time where that person or someone he cares about gets a bad diagnosis. And that's when they have to open themselves up to the graces that were always there. I remember once I sent a reporter who's a friend of mine for ABC News. She was doing a story on Joe Amaral, who hadn't walked for 28 years and was cured through the intercession of John Paul II in my confessional. But in order to get objectivity, she needed to meet with an atheist who didn't believe in miracles. And Liz told me she was going to be doing this. And I said, could I plant a question? She said, try it. I said, scope his room when you go in to interview him. See if he's got any family members. And if he has any photos of family members, ask him what he would do if that person needed prayers. So in this 2020 special, at the very end, she says, and Professor, I couldn't help but notice the beautiful photo of you and your daughter on your desk. If she were desperately in need of help, when nobody else, not all the scientists and doctors of the world, could help her. Would you still say there's no God? Would you still say there's no one else who can help? And the camera was on him. And the tear came down. And he said, no, I think I would pray. And that was the end of the interview. And I've never forgotten it, obviously. Very powerful. Everything works out for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his plan. God can sometimes use even those sufferings. But there's a flip side of it. All things don't work out for the good, period. They may work out for the bad, because the devil's going to try to take everything, including good things, to our detriment. And we see that. Suffering can either make us better or bitter. Even blessings can make us grateful or arrogant. And so the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son precisely to help us to unite all aspects of our life in friendship with the Lord, to conform everything to the image of the Son, so that through that confirmation, everything, including our own passions, will work out for the good, will become part of salvation, will help us fit through the narrow gate by pruning from us whatever won't squeeze in. At the very end of today's gospel passage, Jesus describes how he wills everyone to be saved. He says that many will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, to recline at the table in the kingdom. He's constantly calling, he's constantly sending the Holy Spirit out to help everyone. And so we have great hope. Today we proclaim the Word of God. Today we participate in the greatest miracle of all time. Today we not only eat with Jesus, but we eat Jesus. But all of these actions are supposed to deepen our friendship with him. So much so that after striving to fit into him, we might strive with him to go out to the east and the west and the north and the south, together with the Holy Spirit, to be able to be his holy inducements, to be called according to his plan. Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, because we do not know how to pray as we ought. And so the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit to help us pray this Mass in a way it will totally conform us to Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ.